Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. Always great to sit in for Jim and be a part of the biggest and most important show in our business. I know 2020 has been challenging for all of us, so I apologize in advance. You got to deal with me today and tomorrow. I feel your pain. The program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. But even though you have to endure the suffering of yours truly, I can offer you the great opportunity to be a part of the program. Pick up the phone, 1-800-636-8686, 1-800-636-8686. I am a huge fan of the JTP. I don't block anybody connected with the jungle, so you can hit me up on Twitter. It is BW Weber, Weber with two Bs, emails at rome@haveatake.com. Wide open in hour number one of the program, loading the show today. First guest doesn't appear until 2:40 Eastern, talking about the joke that is a 60-game baseball season, if it even happens, because the sport can't figure out how to test properly. We're going to check in with Jay Jaffe from Fangraphs. So plenty of time for us to get interactive. Now, since I am the luckiest man in radio to sit in for Vance Mack again, I know how it works. Jungle legends will not lower themselves to check in with me, and that's quite all right. So, if you have not had the opportunity in the past to participate in the program, today could be your day. However, I am not the gatekeeper. You have to get past the man who once was my producer on a weekend program and has parlayed that into being a media mogul, finally. If you want to get on the air, my pal Garrett Ritt is handling the calls, so you know it's game on.
Game on.
That's an H.
Mark it down. That's an H.
Garrett Ritt's working hard today. Oh, he always knows where that camera is. 1-800-636-8686. Let's jump right in with what's happening in Orlando, because at last, after so many weeks of conversation and speculation, NBA players have arrived at the bubble. And because I listen to this program every day and giving you the warning in advance, most of my references are old school jungle driven. Most of my references stuck circa 1995, but it was a better time. Listening and watching on CBS Sports Network, Jim has done a marvelous job of covering just about every angle heading into the bubble. So we had all the talk about the hotel seating at Disney World and the better teams having the ability to stay at the top-notch hotels of that resort. Now, we're talking about the happiest place on earth. They weren't going to exile anybody to a motel. You fill in the blank. They could be a sponsor on one of the platforms that's carrying the program today. Although, and I'm going to tread lightly here because part of my portfolio is calling women's basketball. Did you happen to see the accommodations some WNBA players walked into yesterday? Roaches check in, but they don't check out. They're going to fix that in a minute because the optics are just terrible. So the hotels are going to be fine for NBA players. But the one thing, despite the fact that we've all done our best to be as comprehensive as possible, that somehow we overlooked was the meal situation. Yes, that's how starved we are, literally, for content in the midst of a pandemic. After talking about every possible perspective in the bubble, nobody took the time to examine what the Epicurean on a Big Word Wednesday delights would be. So apparently the people who've already showed up in the bubble don't like the food. I have a strong belief that with LeBron James on the way, the king is going to have a regal meal. So I know this is a novel concept. Let's talk actual basketball. No hot takes, just observations as to how things could play out when the games actually start. Although, we're still weeks away from the quote-unquote seeding game starting. And there are too many people in sports talk radio masquerading as experts on a pandemic. I'm not going to rip anybody for proceeding with an abundance of caution. It seemed like a very cogent idea a few months ago when the NBA decided we're going to take our collective talents to Orlando and come up with the safest environment that we can. How were they supposed to know that Florida would become a hotspot? So I'm not going to rip Adam Silver. I'm not going to try to handicap games best I can, developing in terms of rosters, having player availability. We don't know who's going to come back with a positive test. Let's just presume, hopefully, everybody is healthy and available. Although, depth's going to be a key factor when the games start. Although those seeding games are just a colossal waste of time. Why, if we're truly interested in player safety, why are we sending the Phoenix Suns to this bubble? Why is Washington going without Bradley Beal? Who's going to play for Brooklyn? They're going to have five dudes. They're going to have to drive up and down I-95 looking for somebody who's got game to round out the roster. But these are all peripheral issues. Let's just jump to the actual postseason, understanding that all the things we have traditionally connected with playoff basketball will no longer be relevant. Home court advantage is not going to be a factor. Seeding, while you want to look at the particular matchups and go position by position, not going to have the same kind of resonance as we've seen in the past. So if we're just going to be as general as we can be, widening the focus as far as we can go, it's called broadcasting for a reason. How many teams do you think really have a legitimate chance of winning it all in the bubble? Unless you firmly believe this is going to be the wildest postseason we've seen in any sport because of the conditions that I've been mentioning. No fans, players separated from their family and friends, no groupies. Apparently the food's not great day one. Are guys going to be sneaking out of the bubble to head down and get their grub on? There's a lot of stuff to factor in when you're thinking about who's going to lift the Larry O'Brien Trophy in Orlando. But if we're just going to come up with a different context, a different prism through which we can view things, who's got the most on the line? Who's got the most at stake in Orlando? And undeniably, it's LeBron James. And some of that is of his own making, because if you follow LeBron on Instagram, I'm not on Instagram, Jim Rome is. Follow him. He's having a great time in the basement. Wonderful experience, it appears, in Wisconsin. Enjoying his much-deserved vacation because nobody's been grinding harder than Van Smack. But if you check out what LeBron's been doing on Instagram, one of his latest posts has the hashtag Revenge Continues as he's wearing a mask at the Laker facility before heading to Orlando. So LeBron is telling you directly, for reasons that I don't quite understand, that he's all in, as he normally is, but there's a personal stake involved in this trip to the Sunshine State. And it's unclear to me what he is avenging. Yeah, you can talk about last year. He was finally mortal, finally human. He's been a cyborg in the best sense of the word throughout his career, never getting hurt, playing ungodly minutes year after year, deep into the month of June with the 9 appearances in the finals. If you want to go down the hackneyed, cliche road of Jordan versus LeBron, and it's tough enough, you got to listen to me today and tomorrow, I'm not going to bludgeon you with that. But if you want to semi-connect the dots, you could say it was the spring of Michael Jordan. There was nothing else on TV. That documentary, in quotes, it was flawed in production. I don't know how you can tell the Michael Jordan story without hearing from his ex-wife, although if I had that kind of money and paid someone roughly $100 million to go away, I probably would not put that person in my film either, with total editorial control. But because we could not leave our homes and we were starved for content, Michael Jordan dominated like it was 1998. And perhaps LeBron is a better person than me. He's obviously a better athlete, and he's got a lot more zeros in his bank account. But the great ones in any walk of life are often driven by the pettiest things. And it's not a stretch to believe that LeBron, like the rest of us, saw all the Jordan buzz and all the Jordan hype once more and said, okay, I know what my career is about at this stage. LeBron is in the legacy-enhancing business. Because while if you really want to get into the particulars, you can talk about 3-6 in the finals. It's a monumental achievement even to get to 9 appearances in the finals. But because I'm not only old school, I'm old, my generation always pushes back with the default answer that Jordan's got 6 rings, 6-6 in the finals. Game over. Not game on. Game over. But if we're going to take a step back and give some more time for perspective, 15 years from now, let's say LeBron wins this title, and if you care about the view from Vegas, Lakers are leading on the money line to win it all. Let's say they win this championship, and he gets one more title before he's done. Well, that gets him 5. And the difference between 5 and 6 beyond the arithmetic is not too huge in the legacy business. So we know the motivation of LeBron James. He just told himself on social media, hashtag revenge season continues. Is LeBron deserving with the Lakers to be the favorite team in Vegas? And I'm not going to get into the minutiae of how sports books work. Every show now deals with gambling. You understand that a lot of that is swayed by public perception, and there's a multitude of Laker fans out there who've been starved for anything they can bet on. So that's, I'm sure, moving the odds. But if we're just talking about, back to the central premise, players with the most on the line, the most individually at stake, and the teams who have a legitimate chance of winning the championship, LeBron got to feel good for a variety of reasons. Think about if this was a normal, quote-unquote, postseason. How do you think LeBron would typically feel? Because to his credit, he doesn't believe in load management, and he's out there every night. Well, typically, he's pretty banged up, dealing at least with minimal aches and pains. Well, like you and I, he's had nothing to do but work out and enjoy family time since early March, since the Rudy Gobert moment. So presumably, he's never been more rested and ready. I know that goes for everybody else in the bubble. But LeBron has more wear and tear and more mileage than anybody else vying for a championship. He's got the complimentary player he handpicked. And now I think if we're talking about pressure, which is Sports Talk Radio 101, players with something to prove, Anthony Davis certainly falls in that category. Postseason resume is thin. Is he going to make a big shot if LeBron is double late in the game? And we know LeBron needs his Kyrie or Bosh and Wade, Ray Allen during the run in Miami. Who's going to make that shot for the Lakers who won't have Avery Bradley? And if we're just thinking about how things could play out in the Western Conference specifically, why aren't the Clippers favored to win the championship? Just go head to head. They have beaten the Lakers 2 of 3 times they played this year. Took care of them on opening night. Did it again on Christmas Day. If you believe, because of all of the vagaries and strange things that could happen in Orlando, depth is going to be more important than ever. Clippers are the deepest contender in the Western Conference. You jump to the East. Boston's the team that stands out to me. Jaylen Brown and Kemba Walker and the rest. Yes, the Greek Freak should win the MVP award for the second straight year. But are you really riding with Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe? And how about the Freak trying to win that first championship? How's he going to handle the burden of expectations? So I don't think there's a grand debate unless you want to engage by picking up the phone. 1-800-636-8686. Open for business on Twitter. BW Weber. Weber with 2 B's. LeBron at 35 years old. Understanding, although it feels like he's going to play forever, and we know a big part of that motivation to go to L.A. was to become a producer as much as he is already a basketball force, and I'm just hoping that Jim Rome gets a chance to duplicate his magic in the original Space Jam when we get to the reimagination of the classic. Don't call it a reboot. But when that movie comes out, I hope Romy's in there so we can get more mailbox money with those gaudy checks of 23 cents appearing every month. LeBron James has a singular focus. It's all about picking up another championship or two. He's not going to get to six, in my estimation. But you get him closer to Jordan. And then we're really just having a beauty contest, as we always do in sports. But as much as I tried to be comprehensive with the analysis, gave this plenty of thought in my Regal one-bedroom apartment last night, I would be disingenuous to tell you that I have any firm comprehension as to what's going to happen, because we've never seen anything like this. But don't you think LeBron has the ability to dig deep and muster up what it's going to take individually to have energy in a night when his shot's off and he can't rely on the crowd, much more than a young player like Giannis or Anthony Davis would? Is it going to matter that he doesn't have Avery Bradley? And maybe, I think KCP is going to get the majority of the minutes, maybe J.R. Smith's going to have an opportunity to forget how much time is on the clock and what the score is in a critical situation. So LeBron has the most on the line, the most individually at stake. But even with his maniacal focus and monumental motivation, I don't think it's going to matter. Clippers aren't a sexy pick. They're the Clippers, after all. They've never made it to the conference finals in the history of the organization. But thankfully, Don Sterling's not walking through that door in the bubble. And you got Kawhi and Lou Williams and Patrick Beverley, and I'll talk about this later in the show, and I'm back tomorrow. If we're talking about pressure and a player who has the most to prove, I think it's Paul George, because Kawhi's already won that championship. He did it improbably in Toronto. If he wins another one, we're putting him in a whole different category. Paul George has a lot to prove, even though the Clippers have the ability to lean on other options as they get ready to rev things up in the bubble. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. The goal is to be interactive. 1-800-636-8686. You can tweet at me. It is BW Weber. Emails rome@haveatake.com. No guests in this first hour. In fact, no guests coming up for another hour and change, and then we'll talk some baseball. Are they actually going to have this season? MLB can't figure out how to get the testing issue right. Why? Because baseball is fundamentally broken. We'll talk about the grand old game with Jay Jaffe from Fangraphs.com. That's coming up in hour number two. But straight ahead, we'll round the bases. What's the sign you have way too much money? It could be you're willing to get into a bidding war to watch baseball from thousands of feet away outside an empty stadium. Details next. Just getting warmed up on a grand Wednesday. You're in the jungle. I'm Brian Weber for Jim Rome, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber back with you in for Jim Rome. Phone calls, welcome, but we take them selectively when I'm in the chair. 1-800-636-8686. Emails, rome@haveatake.com. Twitter is your best bet. That's BW Weber. Your tweet's coming up in 15 minutes. We'll make the move to college sports. A significant announcement expected today from, of all places, the Ivy League. According to reports, it's going to be made official. The Ivy League is going to postpone, not cancel, push back their fall sports to the spring. Why is that important? I'll give you the details coming up. As promised, some tweets. Let's start with a good friend of the program, Jungle Regular, SA Sports Honk, Webbs, thank you for getting personal. Who's going to cut LeBron's steak at Disney? Is LeBron's steak cutter going to be allowed in the bubble, or will J.R. Smith have to do it? I think it's Jerry Jones' son-in-law, because right now he doesn't have to worry about cleaning up the old man's glasses. He's going to be shipped off to Orlando. Hey, you can say a lot of things about LeBron in addition to his magnificent skills. He is a heck of a producer. Lakers are a phenomenal reality show now with the Mercurial. He's an interesting cat. J.R. Smith back on the team. At Seattle Kinko, I won't be sneaking out of the bubble. Immunity compromised. Let me try that one more time. Immunity compromisingly yours. Wow. John Travolta. We're going with a boy in the bubble reference. Look, I'll handle the old cliches and things that are about 30 years stale, but good job there. Alex in the 207. Perfect day to host a radio show with no sports happening. Not true. Soccer's coming back tonight, allegedly. Weber's chance to talk food for 3 hours. You know I could. Although I think I'm hanging in there based on what everybody else has not been doing. Hitting the gym over the last 4 months. I would say when you turn 50, don't try to pick up jogging again for the first time in 20 years. Not a good recipe for success. Finally, sunny in Toronto. Vegas would have been a better choice for the NBA even before the spike in Florida. Why didn't the NBA choose Vegas? If you know anything about NBA players, and this is going to be a overall thoughts, not trying to be stereotypical, but I can draw on my tenure as the TV sideline reporter for the Golden State Warriors when they had the cavalcade of stars like Todd Fuller and Larry Hughes. I'll just let you know personally, I was younger and having a good time in Northern California. NBA players enjoy their lives off the court. And Rona or no Rona, there was no way you would maintain a bubble in Vegas. Baseball opting to go the other way of the MLS, which will play a game tonight unless they have more positive tests. The NBA and hockey with their respective bubbles. Baseball says, we believe in the honor system because that works so well throughout the steroid era, right? So baseball's got a handbook roughly of 108 pages filled with specifics and protocols about what you can and can't do at the ballpark. But when the players go home or are on the road, because they're going to travel to road venues, baseball is going to trust them to do the right thing. This just strikes me as, hopefully I'm wrong here, a very risky proposition. But should we be surprised? Give me a decision that baseball has accurately made over the last 40 years. And I go all the way back to the strike being canceled or the strike leading to the World Series cancellation in 1994, but I'm trying to stay a little bit current. So here's what we know about baseball this season. 60 games to me is a joke, but since most of you complain on Twitter, and it's BW Weber, Weber with two Bs, Brian Weber in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio, that the season is too damn long, you'll probably enjoy the 60-game sprint to October. Universal DH, I got no problem with that. And don't tell me that we're missing nuance and tactical baseball and strategy. Yes, the double switch is fascinating. One of the most unique things in all of sports, but we know pitchers trying to be hitters is a colossal waste of time. I don't even care about the softball rule. Yeah, it's a gimmick, but the whole sport is a gimmick because it's become beer league softball with the over-reliance on analytics. It's all or nothing at all. Everybody swings for the fences because the data-driven numbers crunchers tell you that ground balls are effectively not worth anything. Just put it in play. Try to hit it in the air, especially because we know the ball was juiced last year and good things are going to happen. So, yeah, you could say that baseball is going to look completely different this season. But for the vast majority of you who've given up on MLB, those are all positive developments. But the one thing that I think is going to be odd, not for you or me sitting at home watching these games on TV, and it may vary market to market, but if baseball has any common sense, and that's a big presumption, they got to pipe in some crowd noise. Because, yes, we know we've watched games in Miami with 13 people allegedly in the stands, unless the Yankees show up, and it feels like a mausoleum. Well, this is only a TV product now, because unless there's a major change, and I'm hoping there is, unless we get to a place where fans will be allowed at least to a degree of 25 or 30% in some stadiums, these games are going to sound like death. But what's worse than that? Let's say you're on the couch and you're just starve for sports. You've been waiting and waiting. I think you're going to lower your expectations and say, just put the game on, entertain me. What would motivate you, unless you just have money literally to light on fire, to say, okay, I'm going to show up outside of a stadium that presumably will be empty and not stand 15, 20, 40 feet outside and try to catch a glimpse like those kids did looking for Babe Ruth back in the day? No, I'm going to be thousands of feet away up on a roof outside of Wrigley Field, understanding that they're going to have limited capacity, socially distanced. So the good old laws of supply and demand, our old friends are going to tell us those tickets are going to go way up. Why? Because people want to get their drink on, and I'll be the angry New Yorker. Thankfully, I left there a long time ago, but I can play one on the radio. We know outside of recent success, there is a culture in Chicago fandom that says going to Wrigley Field is primarily driven about opening as many cans of suds as you can before you get into the venue and then keep on drinking. And if you don't believe me, let's jump in the hot tub time machine, take it back to one of the greatest rants in the history of sports, courtesy of then Cubs manager Lee Elia.
I'll tell you one thing. I hope we get hotter than just to stuff it up them 3,000 people that show up every day. Because if they're the real Chicago fans, they can kiss my ass right downtown and print it. They're really, really behind you around here. My ass. What the am I supposed to do? Go out there and let my players get destroyed every day and be quiet about it for the nickel dime people to show up? The mother don't even work. That's why they're out at the game. They ought to go out and get a job and find out what it's like to go out there and earn a living. 85% of the world's working. The other 15 come out here. The playground for the rip them mother rip them cuckers like the players. Got guys busting their ass and them people too. And that's the Cubs? My ass. They talk about the great support that the players get around here. I haven't seen it this year. The name of the game is hit the ball, catch the ball, and get the job done.
And take that downtown. Play the hits if you're the fill-in guy. So in many ways, we've come full circle. That was in the early 1980s when 3,000, maybe 4,000 people would show up on a good day for a Tuesday matinee at the friendly confines. Why primarily to drink? Just ask Lelia. They weren't supporting the team, which had a garbage product on the field. And now, as we jump ahead to 2020, what's going to happen at Wrigley Field? Maybe 1,000, 2,000, if we're lucky, 2,500 fans are going to show up several thousand feet away from an empty stadium, paying top dollar for the privilege to get their drink on. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Although I know one man in this studio right now, we only have three people working today, probably two, and I'm doing my thing. One man who would actually raid his kids' college fund for that privilege. You might know him. He's also a crooner on this program. Let's have a little bit of the vocal stylings of the great Garrett Ritt.
Baseball season's underway. But go ahead and slot the Cubs in last place. Because Quintana won't be able to play. He just effed his finger up today. They're singing, no Cubs, no. Hey, Cubs, you blow. Jose Quintana, what do you say? Dishwashing is not your game. The Cubs are a joke.
Imagine Rip with a beer or 12 in him out there on the rooftop in Wrigleyville, just leading the charge of go, Cubs, go. Rip, man, you are an interesting cat, and I know we're up against an update, so I will make this succinct. As I mentioned briefly at the outset, Garrett Ritt, once upon a time, was my producer on a weekend program. And here's the difference between me and Jim, in addition to Jim having immense talent. There's a reason why he's in the Hall of Fame. I thought Garrett was a skilled producer who was too good to be working on the weekend. So I went to management and said, for the good of the network and Garrett's family and livelihood, not to blow the money on going to Cubs games, why don't you, Mr. Program Director, consider Garrett for a full-time position? If I had known he was a content factory, I would have gotten off the weekends myself. I wouldn't be a fill-in guy someplace. That's why Jim Rome is the best in the business. He sized you up within 30 seconds. Now, the difference is you and Jim, I'm guessing, had conversations. You and I worked together for roughly 6 months. Did I know your name? I wasn't a big talker in the hallways. That was a long time ago. Therapy really has done wonders for yours truly. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter. It's BW Weber. Emails, rome@haveatake.com. No guest until we get to hour number two. So if you want to hop aboard, you know the phone number. Coming up as we wait for the official word from the Ivy League. We know it's a time of change in sports. How much fundamental change could be coming to college football? That's on the way. Now it's time for a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
First hour is flying by. Thank you for sharing part of the day with us. 1-800-636-8686. More tweets coming up. The Twitter handle is BW Weber. You want to go in-depth, be comprehensive, emails rome@haveatake.com. And you should be thinking about how you can best conjure up something insightful, because it's time to ask the pros, where you, the clones, have an opportunity to ask me a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question. Thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Coming up, we'll talk college sports. Today is scheduled to be the day the Ivy League will make an official announcement that has been leaked over the last 48 hours. They're going to hit pause on all sports. Remember, they were the first conference to shut down their basketball tournament as the world changed in March. Well, according to reports, we're going to find out that the Ivy League is going to push back all of their fall sports to the spring. I know you don't care about Yale women's soccer specifically, but I'll tell you what the consequences and the takeaways from that move could mean for sports you do care about, namely big-time college football. More tweets. John in Buffalo. Since Hawk is not in the house, should I be a little bit paranoid that just about every time I am so fortunate to fill in, Adam Hawk does not show up? You know we're all extremely insecure in this business. John's got a proposition. Can we have another Eye of the Hawk? Or, if Adam does not want to call in hour number three, how about what grinds Garrett's gears? Or, my man's filled with alliteration, ask Alvy. Alvin doesn't have to talk, and we know that's a rarity. Marceau, mime is money. Another 1983 reference here. Can Alvin reply via the soundboard? Thank you. Alvin, you run this show. Is there anything you would like to share with us?
Give me back my stuff!
Please.
Here we are.
Awkward, you know, and then you'd be like,
Dude, no.
I thought there'd be a bowling drop in there.
Scrivens has an answer.
Self-gloss, not permitted in the jungle. Tomorrow I'm back. We'll be talking about friend of the program, Jorge Masvidal. Man, Fight Island should be wild, even if there are no sharks with lasers on their head. Masvidal Usman could break the internet. Because I have no life, Googling Masvidal, I was convinced I had done one of his fights. Back in the late 2000s, I was the TV voice of Strikeforce. Alvin, I have found tape. I will bring it into work of me calling a Masvidal fight at the Playboy Mansion circa 2007. Forward promotion. You're going to have to just decide you're not working tomorrow. I can't tell you at what point in the show we'll get to that, but we will take you way back to me screaming that somebody had a rear naked choke slapped on. Jim Benton.
Yeah.
Weber proving he's the best guest host right now. You're very kind. That is not accurate. Even I thought Ritz sounded terrible. Regards, Ditka singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Geoff and Lincoln. Carl Lewis singing the national anthem thinks that's lousy. Finally, I think my ears need a vacation after hearing Ritz Cubs parody. What the hell was that? Give me an H for horrible James in Tucson.
Mark it down. That's an H.
Didn't Ritz also have the suggestion that Paul Pierce was out of shape in that video? I love fat shaming was Game not on. A thing we did in 2020, but again, when we worked together, I had no idea of the brilliance on the other side of the glass, and that's why Jim is the best in the business. Okay, college football hopefully is on the way, and we're going to next week get to something that typically symbolizes we're closer to games actually being played on the field. No preseason, as you know, in college football, although effectively outside of some quality intersectional matchups, traditionally the big game at Jerry's World, and we'll see if USC and Alabama get together. I have many doubts about that. We'll tell you why coming up. That game or the game in Georgia. We know college football programs ease in. And coming up, as we kick off hour number two, we'll make the move to the NFL. Thoughts on the lunacy of DeSean Jackson, Patrick Mahomes being too generous to the Chiefs. If you believe that's a $500 million contract, we got to dig a little bit deeper. And we'll talk about what the NFL should do, knowing they won't do it because it's the National Football League and they can do whatever the heck they want because we're addicted to the product. But we know early on in college football, most of the games are garbage, body bag games in which
garbage.
A behemoth from a Power 5 conference writes a check for the Paladins of Furman to show up and lose 49-0. That tells us, though, college football was back. Before that, though, really a celebration of the sport that has nothing to do with what's happening between the lines. College football media days. SEC media days, plural. They invented that because having just one day of media folks showing up and putting sandwiches in their pocket to take home with them was not enough in Hoover, Alabama. Obviously different this year. It'll be a virtual presentation. But college football is getting closer to having to make some transcendent decisions. And the first step will be, will we have a college football season at all this fall? Will it start on time? Will we only have conference games? Or are we going to see college football push back to spring because of all of the variables still in play and a sense of optimism that hopefully we're in a better world when we get to February and March? So the Ivy League's decision coming up later today, and unless this is a giant swerve like Hulk Hogan coming out as the third man at the bash at the beach, the Ivy League's going to let us know what we seemingly already have been made aware of by a variety of reports. They're going to push back all fall sports, not cancel them, but push everything back to the spring. What does that mean? Well, we know that university presidents, and while college football head coaches are grossly overpaid, now you can justify it in terms of generating revenue, although who really is the source of that revenue? It's the players, and we can have that conversation if you want. 1-800-636-8686 with the disclaimer that because I do work for Pac-12 Networks, everything I say here is my own opinion, as the lawyers reminded me before I got in the car this morning. University presidents follow the league of the Ivy League on a lot of subjects. So if the Ivy League says we don't feel comfortable playing sports in the fall, you can safely bet that that's going to have a meaningful impact on a lot of university presidents. At the same time, we understand If college football gets pushed back, that has an enormous ripple effect on every athletic department, because college football, and in some cases, men's basketball, but college football pays the bills for everybody. If you like lacrosse, if you like soccer, if you like water polo, you better hope there's a college football season. So I don't think we're going to get to a place, irrespective of what the Ivy League announces today, that the college football season will be canceled. At a minimum, I think we see a step-by-step process. First step is we're only playing conference games. Next step would be we're going to the spring. Thermonuclear step, no college football this year. But if college football is played, are we going to see more of what we've seen in professional sports on campus? Will players try to assert their newfound power, because we saw it in Mississippi with the overdue move of taking down that flag? We saw it at Oklahoma State. You can say Mike Gundy survived, gave up $1 million and a year on the contract. Saw it at UCLA when the players said, we want an independent health advisor. So I'm going to be tracking closely, in addition to the key decision. Will we have college football at all? And when will it be played? Will the players realize the power they have on campus? Coming up, talking NFL, how much money did Patrick Mahomes leave on the table? Brian Weber in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.